Chapter 25. The Controller. It was almost 2 a.m. when the car pulled into the basement parking of Lisa's apartment building. Andrew Gibson had insisted on driving them back to Lisa's place. The embassy man was clearly smitten with her, and after saying goodnight, suggested they meet up for lunch sometime. Lisa's response was a non-committal smile. As the embassy man drove away, Jack turned to her. "Another conquest there, Miss Reynard?" With a wink, she said, "Too young for me, hun." They rode the elevator to her floor, in silence, and once in the flat she turned to him. "You want some tea or anything before bed?" He looked at his Rolex. "Not this time of night, babe. I'm going to get a quick shower and then sleep. It's been an eventful day." "It certainly has. What's the plan for tomorrow?" "Now that Nelson is safely tucked up in the embassy, we'll go see your controller in the morning. Tell him the full story. See what he thinks our next move should be. That's pretty much it." She nodded. "Okay. And the next day your mafia chum arrives." Jack raised his eyebrows. "That's going to be fun." She leaned in and kissed his cheek. "Okay. Good night." "Night, Lisa. Thanks for all you're doing." "Wouldn't miss it for the world." Before she left the room, she turned. "Just one thing that's worrying me. Nelson said he thinks we're being followed. I haven't noticed anything, but then again, I haven't been looking. And you don't seem too concerned." Jack shrugged his shoulders. "Nelson could be wrong. And until we know for sure, we stay vigilant. Nothing else we can do. Don't worry. Get some sleep." "Yeah, I guess so. Night, Jack." The next morning, there was a light rain, so breakfast was eaten in the dining room. Jack had, as usual, only slept for a few hours and was up before 6 o'clock. He'd made a long call to Nicole and giggled on the phone with his daughters. His second call to Matthew was nowhere near as light-hearted. He told him Colonel Nelson was now secure in the embassy and how he'd made a statement, on video, attesting to Alexander Mason's involvement in masterminding the Afghan opium conspiracy. Thanks to Alexei Kurigin, they now had the Cayman bank accounts, into which the money from the Russians was paid, and, although the murders of those involved could not be laid directly at Mason's door, it was fair to say everyone, with the exception of Nelson, had been killed at the behest of the president-elect. What Jack did not tell his brother was Vanya Kurigin was on his way to Washington, and what that might mean. Again, at the insistence of Jack, they took Lisa's Porsche for the drive out to Fort Meade. By late morning, the rain had become quite heavy, although the temperature remained pleasant. Although Fort Meade is primarily an American military base, it does house several other security agencies, the most important being the National Security Agency, or, as it's widely known, the NSA. Lisa Reynard had been recruited by the agency after the Twin Towers had come down on 9/11. Prior to that, she'd undertaken a few very minor jobs, mostly intelligence gathering and surveillance work, when she was on assignment for the Washington Post in Africa. After being trained in fieldcraft, weapons and tactics, she was now being used more and more. Her position as a respected journalist provided an excellent front and provided the perfect cover while undertaking covert missions for the NSA around the world. At 11 o'clock precisely, they were shown into the offices of Lisa's controller, Jerry McKinnon. "Lisa, good morning. And this is Mr. Jack Castle." As they shook hands, Jack said, "Pleasure to meet you, sir. Please, call me Jack. And thank you for expediting our release from the police yesterday." McKinnon nodded towards a round table and chairs in the corner. "Let's have a seat. You want anything to drink before we start?" Lisa shook her head. "Nothing for me, sir." Jack raised a hand. "I'm fine, thank you." "Okay, Jack. I take it yesterday's little episode has a lot to do with your reason for being here in Washington."
"It does, sir."
"Then why don't you start at the beginning?" Almost 2 hours later, Jerry McKinnon leaned back in his chair.
"Wow. That's some story, Jack."
"I know it's hard to believe, sir, but the evidence is definitely pointing to it all being true. But the elimination of anyone involved greatly reduces the possibility of corroboration. We still have Colonel Nelson, sir."
"Yes, indeed, but only one man.
Lisa looked at her boss. Nevertheless, sir, the documentation, the bank accounts, the murders of everyone on the list. We even have the Russians confirming they bought and took delivery of the opium. It's all extremely compelling. McKinnon stood up and walked around the office. We need to get this all to the FBI, and Colonel Nelson should be taken into protective custody. Jack frowned. With respect, sir, we have no idea who is still involved. Yes, all the original conspirators have been eliminated, with the exception of Nelson, but there is obviously powerful people still working with Alexander Mason. People who are working to eradicate any connection Mason had with the whole affair. Lisa stood up. We could be losing the last living witness if we hand the colonel over to the Fed, sir. Can't we keep him secure here at Fort Meade? The controller shook his head. This is not in our jurisdiction, Lisa. What about going to the Attorney General? Said Jack. No, we have to give this to the Bureau. The controller went to his desk and sat down. He tapped the intercom and a metallic voice said, Yes, sir? Martha, please put me through to the director of the FBI.